What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks powered by The Nation. Today is Friday, August 30th. We are a day before the Texas Tech Red Raiders kick off their season, and you're listening to episode 231. Today we're talking all things Texas Tech football. We're breaking down the Texas Tech defense, and then we're going to be talking about the upcoming matchup with ACU. So we're going to save our second half schedule for later on in the season. I think there is a bye after the Arizona week, so that gives us the perfect time to preview the second half of the season. And of course, we'll know how the first half of the season has gone. But yeah, we're doing that. We'll make our actual season predictions today as well, season record predictions. We're not going to go dive into anything crazy on those predictions, just give our record and why. And so that's what you can expect this week. We're excited that we are back in the swing of college football, having Texas Tech football to talk about weekly. And so with all that said, make sure you're following the tailgate. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those five stars for the tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, we always appreciate a review there. Also, follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter to get our thoughts during Texas Tech football games as news breaks throughout the season. Follow us on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. That's where we do most of our posting. But we do have Instagram, Facebook, and a YouTube channel. Lastly, if you have any questions, comments, anything that you would like us to discuss on the tailgate, you can always send us an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go!
All right, Dustin. Well, college football season is finally here. It kicked off last weekend. Georgia Tech pulling off the first upset of the season with a win over Florida State. Colorado survived a upset bid from North Dakota State last night. And now it's time to shift our focus to Texas Tech kicking off their season. So that's upcoming. Last week, we broke down the offense. This week, it's time to take a look at Tim DeRuiter and the boys on the defensive side of the ball. And so let's start there with Tim DeRuiter. It's his third year as the defensive coordinator. I think over the stretch of Joey McGuire's tenure here so far, I think you can say the defense has been the stronger, more consistent side of the ball so far. So how are you feeling about Tim DeRuiter in year three for the Texas Tech Red Raiders defense?
First of all, welcome to game week. We've made it. It's been a long off season, after early exit from basketball and a disappointing baseball season, long off season, but we finally made it to game week. Time for Tech football. Yeah, Tim DeRuiter and the defense. It's good to have a D coordinator that is back for his third stint and is doing a great job on that side of the ball. The consistency, like you talked about, has been amazing in these 2 years, and especially last year. I mean, our whole thing last year was we're giving up 20 or less points in all these games, and we're struggling to win them. And that's a good problem to have when you're talking on the defensive side. Yeah. Like, hey, we're doing our job over here. We're getting some takeaways. Couldn't get the pass rush, but still had a really good effective defense. So that's a little odd, but we still made it work really well. I love that he's back. I love what he's done. And one of the overarching things we're going to talk about today, not a lot of dudes that are back this year necessarily that have a ton of experience.
Yeah.
But a lot of these guys you're starting to see are Joey's first recruits or second recruiting classes that have been here 2 and 3 years. So they've been in the Tim DeRuiter meeting rooms for these last 2 and 3 years. So they're a little more homegrown and know what Tim's doing. And especially a lot of the guys I'm going to talk about, the D-line and the DBs, they've done a lot of fill-in work over the last year or two.
It's same at linebacker and edge, too. It's just a bunch of names that you've known have been here. But, like you said,
they know what he's talking and wanting to do. Just a lot of the guys don't have as much experience as we've had before.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that, but I like where we're headed with this defense this year.
Yeah, I really like where we're headed to. You can see, like you said, just reading the names as preparing for this. You know, I remember these guys was the first recruits that committed to yes. Joey when he took the job. Yep. And now you're starting to see them kind of take over these positions. And so it's really nice to have that consistency. It's something that we've really lacked on the defensive side of the ball for the last decade plus. I remember, you know, I still remember when we first had Keenan Ward on, you know, the first thing he talked about was, you know, having a defensive coordinator stay from one year to the next, make such a big impact. Well, this is 3 years now of just knowing the system, knowing what is required by this defensive staff. And you really haven't had a lot of turnover on the defensive staff either. Like a lot of these guys are still here. I really love the coaching staff that they put together on that side of the ball. I've really enjoyed the recruiting that they've done on that side of the ball. And I think this is the year that you're really going to start to see what they envisioned for this defense. And so with that said, let's go ahead and get into those position groups. And we're going to send it over to you to kick us off with the guys who will be man in the front of the defense for the Red Raiders.
Yeah. So before I get into the D-line, I wanted to kind of highlight our key losses from last year. I got like five main guys, and they're not going to surprise you because we're going to be like, oh, man. Obviously, our two big D tackles that have been here that were six-year seniors, Jalen Hutchings and Tony Bradford, they were the anchors of your defense for the last couple years. 7.5 sacks between them last year, played so many snaps for you, and were really, really great for you up front. And then on the back end is where you lost the rest of it. Tyler Owens, even though he was in and out of the lineup with some injuries, was really good when he was on the field for you. Malik Dunlap was one of your best corners. Not necessarily lockdown, but very solid on that left side for you. And then the best one in the back of them all, the Rabbit, Adrian Taylor Dimerson. 4 picks for you, the kind of the quarterback of your defense last year. You needed something to happen. He was the one to do it for you. So some of those guys are on NFL rosters now.
Yeah.
Rabbit and T.O. So
Miles Cole.
They'll be missed. But, I didn't mention our defensive ends that we lost because we didn't really lose them.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Cole went to the professional route, and he made the Jaguars 53 roster, so, like, good for him there. And then Steve Linton had the best game of his life against Baylor Bears, and they decided, you know what, come on down. So now he's a Baylor Bear. So, two disappointments, I think, from last year.
So, yeah, a lot to replace on the D-tackle front. I'm going to let Brooks cover the edge rusher-type guys, but just going through – the safeties and especially the D tackle, I was like, man, I just got a lot of names to cover for y'all. Brooks has the fun stuff in the linebacker group, the guys that we know, but so I'm going to list off a lot of names. Some of them, you know, some of you don't. The good thing about doing this on game week is we have a depth chart to go by.
Yeah.
So that was very helpful.
Yeah. Went right to that.
Went right to that. I printed that bad boy off and used it. So, nose tackle, Quincy Ledet. He's going to be a senior, big guy in the middle for you. He was a regular guy in your rotation last year, especially later. He's wearing number 5 this year, just letting you all know. That's going to stand out. A little different. And then you're
number 5 on the defensive line very often.
Nope.
Unless it's like a pass rusher, but.
And then your other guy back there is going to be DeBraylon Carroll, senior. He's your Rice transfer that you got. Going through this list, he's like your only transfer on the defense that's going to play a lot besides your ends. And whereas your offense revamped a couple position groups completely, your defense is mostly homegrown recruits and whatnot.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a Nevada transfer too, I think, right on the.
Yeah, he's a little lower on the list of some things. So.
I haven't heard how much he's actually going to play. Yeah, Braylon Carroll is, I think, the name that I've heard the most out of.
Yeah, he's the only guy I got like actual stats for because he has 20 starts at Rice and 1,500 snaps on his record.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot. So, yeah, James Hansen is the Nevada transfer you also might see there as well. And then D-tackle, a couple guys you might have heard of. Emorian Banks, one of my favorite names on the team. Also a single digit. He's going to be number 8 for you in the middle. He showed up in 9 games last year. You also have, you might hear this guy a lot, Jaden Cofield. He's a redshirt freshman. He appeared in 3 games last year, but apparently he had a really good fall camp. Yeah. He's one of your bigger 23 or 22 recruits that's starting to really show out for you. And then you got a guy named Trayvon McAlpine, a sophomore that appeared in 8 games in 23. So you don't have a stud up front. You don't have a Tony Bradford and a Jalen Hutchings that are going to play a ton of reps. But these 5-6 guys are going to rotate and be really good for you, and you're not going to see a drop-off as much. That's the good thing. The only other stat I have for you that I really love about this group, every one of these 6 guys that I listed are all over 300 pounds. We got the beef up front.
Yeah, you don't normally see that for the Red Raiders.
No.
We've had some guys in there. But
I started to notice out to me. And I was like, yeah. Oh, another 315, 310. Awesome. Love that. Beef.
But also, like you said, yeah, the last couple years we've been so reliant on Hutchings and Bradford.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing to have, but the drop off from them to the next was pretty steep, and so I think
the depth is way better.
McGuire's been very adamant about having several guys that they feel very comfortable playing there, and so I think you're hopefully going to see the benefits of that depth this season up front. Let's move over to, I'll go ahead and cover the edge rushers to kind of stick along with that up front for the defense. The edge group, I think, if you look at the defense in a whole, is the group that needed the most improvement from last year to this year. Of course, we kind of mentioned Miles Cole and Steve Linton. They were the two big preseason hype guys that ended up not doing much. Steve Linton, of course, is gone. Miles Cole, of course, went to the Jaguars. And so we have a bunch of guys that, like Dustin said earlier, I got a lot of names for you guys, and there might not be a lot of star power on these names, but there's a lot of guys who can make a potential impact for us this season. And so, of course, now we got the depth chart to go from. So the first batch are going to be guys who made the depth chart, and then I got some other names that you might hear and some freshmen who may get some snaps. Of course, now with the new redshirt rule of you can play 4 games and still get a redshirt. So one of the starting OLBs, you got Harvey Dyson, a sophomore. He has been a name that has I have heard a lot through camp. He has he is one of the early Joey McGuire recruits who's now in his 3rd year. He's classified as a sophomore on the depth chart. I'm a little confused because I think this is his 3rd year, but he's classified as a sophomore, not a redshirt sophomore.
Not
or anything.
All of them had their redshirt deal beside them. I noticed that too.
Yeah. So maybe that was a mistake. I'm not 100% sure, but he comes in as getting the starting nod for us there over on the, it just says OLB. I don't know if that's the right or the left edge, but he comes in as a starter. You've got Isaac Smith as a junior. Of course, Isaac Smith had a lot of hype last season before he got injured before the season and did not play for us last year. So he is coming back off an injury, but he will be an impact piece for this unit that I know a lot of people were excited about last year. Of course, an injury, you kind of have to readjust your thoughts on what he's going to be as a player for you this year. But anything that he can provide will be great for you. And then you got Ansel Nador, a redshirt freshman who is the 3rd spot on the depth chart over there. And so I think this is a pretty good unit. Harvey Dyson can be maybe the star for you here in this unit, the way he's had camp, the way people have talked about him entering that kind of 3rd year in the Tim DeRuiter defense. Joey McGuire has been adamant. It takes about 2-3 years for a edge rusher to really come into his own. And so I'll be excited to watch him. On the other side, got Amir Washington. He is a redshirt freshman. You might remember him from the Cal Bowl game last year where he had a breakout performance in that game. Kind of that started making a name for himself in the bowl game against Cal. now earns the starting spot on the other edge rusher. And so excited to watch Amir Washington develop this year. A name that we have heard often, Joseph Adidire. He's coming in as a junior. He was also one of the early Joey McGuire recruits who's played a little bit as a freshman, a little bit as a sophomore, comes in as a junior. And then Sam Carell, a junior as well at the edge rushers. And so those are the guys that were listed on the depth chart for you at the edge OLB position. Any thoughts on those names that I've said, Dustin? And just kind of, like we said, there's not a lot of guys that have proven much here. You've had moments. You've had moments from Amir Washington. You've had some moments from Joseph Adidire. Harvey Dyson really hasn't gotten the opportunity yet. Isaac Smith coming off an injury. What do you think about the potential for these six guys that got the nod on the depth chart?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of the same story of this edge guys as the same as the interior guys. Like, you don't have a stud and a star out there, but your five and six deep are really good and kind of on the same level. You don't have a big drop off once you got to start getting into your depth, and that's really great. Yeah, I've heard a lot about Harvey Dyson and Isaac Smith, and so really excited for those guys to be out there. And yeah, we kind of know a little bit of Amir and Adidire and just seeing what they can do and with more opportunity. I think also last year, like, we just kept hoping that Miles Cole and Steve Linton would do what they were supposed to do, and they just never did. So a lot of these guys also, maybe they weren't ready, but also really didn't get the opportunity. But now a lot of opportunity is there. And the other good thing, back to my D-line and your guys, like, these guys can go 100% and balls to the walls when they're in there because they don't have to play every snap. Like, you got a guy behind you that can come and fill in the next play or two. Like, you can go give more gas every play because you can have a break in there. Whereas, you know, guys like Miles and them and Tony, they couldn't give 100% every play because they had to keep saving in the tank to last all game, you know. These guys don't have to do that, and that's a big plus for you.
It's kind of like Tyree Wilson's year. You know, that sometimes he would get exhausted by the end of the game. So he would have to go over and over and over again because he was really – we had that could get pressure. So if, you know, I'm really hoping, I'm excited for Amir Washington. I just remember how dominant he was in that Cal game. And he was really one of those guys that made you go, oh my goodness. Like, man, if this guy can build on that as a young coming in as a redshirt freshman, like, that's going to be really exciting. And so the opportunities are going to be there for these guys. The depth is going to be there for these guys to come in. Like you said,
yes.
Also, all for a few possessions, come out, let somebody else go in, go balls to the wall. And hopefully you're able to get more pressure on the quarterback this year. And more pressure creates more problems for the quarterback, which leads to more turnovers and more mistakes. And so hopefully that can happen. Some other names to kind of watch out for here on the edge. You got Charles Esters, a junior, Terrell Tillman, a junior, guys who we've seen from time to time over the last few years. There'll be guys to kind of watch out for who, you know, maybe make some of the other guys. It's going to be a competition, so maybe they can make their way up on the roster, on the depth chart. And then some freshmen to watch. I kind of like Amir Washington maybe last year. You might not see these guys often, but they might get some snaps, like in games like ACU, North Texas. That way they can keep that red shirt here. But that'll be Charles Anderson Jr., Kaysen Long, Eddie Smith, and Cheetah Ofili. Those are some of the freshmen that you might see here early in the season, especially I would expect to see them against ACU and some of these weaker teams that you're facing here. Try to get some experience for these guys. And so the one key note on this group was probably going to be a guy who was going to be a starter. That's Dylan Spencer. He was announced with the injury being out for the season a couple weeks ago. And so that's a name that would have been an impact player for you, I think, this year. Unfortunately, came down with an injury. So hopefully it's not too huge a loss, but I know that he was one of the guys that you expected to play in, be either a starter or the second person on that depth chart. You got something to say?
Yeah. On that note, I wanted to mention it last week, but we had already too much to talk about. But you got out of camp really healthy.
Like,
on both sides of the ball. Like, I know Dylan Spencer, that sucks, but luckily we have the depth to fill that hole, and it doesn't even seem like a hole. So, like, that was a great part of your fall camp. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Charlotte head coach in his press conference the other day. He said, I don't know, about 40-some, almost 50% of their starters are injured for this week.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, my God, dude.
Oh. Yeah, it seems like we've been very cautious. Like, if guys had a little something, they'd sit out, and you'd see, oh, this guy's out, but he's expected back tomorrow or the next day. And so, relatively healthy. Always feels like you have one edge guy go down. You know, last year it was Isaac Smith. This year, Charles Spencer. But hopefully you can keep those guys. Like they've been saying, there's a lot of depth here. So I think you feel a little bit better about yourself. I think last year when Isaac Smith got hurt, you're like, oh, gosh, what are we gonna, you know, that you didn't have the depth to really combat that. And so now I think you do. And so that's a really interesting part. Now let's move over to the linebacking unit,
the fun group.
They might in my perspective, they are the number one unit on your entire team this year.
By far.
I think by far. And that's because you've got guys like Jacob Rodriguez and Ben Roberts manning the linebacker duo. So the depth chart was announced. The Mike linebacker, the starter is going to be Ben Roberts. We're all familiar with Ben Roberts, who kind of got thrust into the job last year after Jacob Rodriguez got hurt early in the Wyoming game. Which led to us finding a gem of a linebacker and one of the best freshman linebackers in the country in Ben Roberts. And so had a hell of a freshman year, and you can see the sky is the limit for this guy in this position. And he is backed up by redshirt freshman, former Coronado High School grad, John Curry. And so those are the guys manning the Mike linebacker for you. The Will linebacker, of course, Jacob Rodriguez that I just mentioned. He had his season shortened last year a bit because that injury, came back, was a big part for you. MVP on the defensive side of the ball in the Cal game. And just a really good linebacker. I mean, in the start of that Wyoming game, you had two turnovers in the drives that he was on the field. As soon as he got hurt, it felt like the defense kind of collapsed a little bit. I think he's probably the glue for this defense. He's a captain on this defense. I'm really excited, and I really hope he stays healthy, because I think he can make this defense so much better if he is healthy throughout this season. And he is backed up by a Red Raider fan favorite, Bryce Ramirez, who comes in as a senior. So this is a really good core four linebacker unit. I think these are the names that you're just going to see at this unit as long as they stay healthy. The other name to watch, Mike Dingle, he came in and played a little bit for you last year. But those are the main five linebackers that you're probably going to see. I didn't really see any other names that I would expect to see at this point, unless there's
you don't need to.
But you got a really good core four there. And Ben Roberts, John Curry, Jacob Rodriguez, and Bryce Ramirez. A really exciting unit, a bunch of leaders, Bryce Ramirez, Jacob Rodriguez, both captains for you. We all know and love Bryce Ramirez from his injury, his infectious attitude, the take three leader on this defense, or not take three, but the number three jersey wear for the defense. And so, Dustin, your thoughts on this linebacking unit and what to expect from them this season?
Yeah, what a group. Oh, man. I mean, you don't usually say this about linebackers, but like, these dudes are like ball hawks. Like,
yeah,
they will always be around the football. And like, we unfortunately didn't get to see all of them play together last year, which is why Ben Roberts had a breakout year, because he had to shoulder all of it himself, with Bryce kind of being in and out, Jacob out early. And like, Jacob's probably like your smartest dude on the defense. Former quarterback.
Yeah.
Tried to go to Virginia to play quarterback, and then now flipped over, played both ways in high school at a really high level. Like, that's incredible.
He just sees the field a little bit differently. Like, he always seems like he's in the right place. Like, in that Wyoming game, he was like right in on every single play. He's really fun to watch on that side of the ball.
And that'll be the interesting dynamic is, one, I saw a clip from DeRuiter, or I can't remember who it was on the staff. They still don't know who's going to wear the green dot, because that's a new deal this year, is the communication between coach and quarterback and defensive player.
I think I've heard Jacob is going to.
They're still fighting over it, basically, because they both want it. But it's also like, who's going to be on the field? Now, I'm sure they'll both have it, but only one's active at a time type deal. But yeah, like the dynamic of having all either all three, some version of those guys out there at any time is going to help our defense tremendously with just their IQ and their just nose to the ball type skills. Like, it's incredible. So like, that's by far your best group this year and your anchor group. And they're still like decently young too. Like, it's not like we get a one and done deal with this.
Yeah. I think that's what makes this my favorite group is, you know, there might be a blessing in disguise in the Jacob Rodriguez injury last year where he's a junior and Ben Roberts is a sophomore. You can see these two guys leading you for the next 2 years as a unit, and that's pretty impressive. But you also got some young guys who, you know, John Curry and Mike Dingle, who are going to be looking to try to make a name for themselves. And so I just think, like, from top to bottom, there it's just, you know, it's not a massive group, obviously, but they're just a bunch of talent there and a bunch of experience already. And so that's what you want out of your linebackers group who's going to be leading the defense. And so with that, let's move on to the defensive secondary, where Dustin's going to be taking us through a lot of names on
a lot of names here. DBs, baby. A lot of names. Like I mentioned, we lost our three starters back there with Rabbit, T.O., and Malik. So it's like your star, one of your safeties and a corner. So a lot of names, going to be a lot of similar drill to our D tackle group. I don't have a lot of stats for you guys. I'm going to be like, hey, they played a little bit last year, but here's what to look forward to. And this is why in the offseason, everybody was like, oh, we need some transfers in the DB group. And I was like, I don't think we do. I think we've recruited well and know who we got and are going to let it ride. So, yeah, at your star position, it's kind of like your nickel linebacker-ish type guy that can be everywhere. Right now they got A.J. McCarty or Brandon Jordan listed right there. A.J. McCarty is your Baylor transfer from last year that the NCAA screwed over and didn't let him play. So, really good player. He might have started for you last year. Great for you. And then Brandon Jordan, he's a sophomore, played in every game last year and had five starts for you because you had to fill in some holes with some injuries here and there. So, like, you got a lot of experience at that position there. I could also see those guys filling in at one of the corner spots if they needed to as well. So, like, the star position is probably like your best depth there, and I think your IQ is a little better as well. I'm going to go both corner spots before I go back to the safeties. All right. Your two starting corners should be Braylon Lux. He's a senior of this group. Not many of those out there that are going to get a lot of playing time. A lot of youth out here. So Braylon Lux is your senior starter, 12 games, 8 starts last year. Led your team in pass breakups with 9 pass breakups last year. So really, really good quality player there as well. And then the guy we've kind of all been waiting on, at least I have, is Mo Horn at your other corner spot. He is a sophomore, appeared in 10 games last year in some fill-in work, but he was your highest recruit in Joey's first class, the only 4-star in that 22 group. We heard a lot about him just because of the hype of Joey's recruiting in that group, and this was the dude in that group with his athleticism.
Wasn't he an Oregon flip? Like, he was going to Oregon, and then we got the Oregon defensive back coach and Marcel Yates.
I think so. I'd have to look back into it. But, yeah, I mean.
He was going to a big school, and then we ended up flipping him.
I mean, he was your only 4-star that year, so that's a great get. And we've been kind of waiting on him. But we've been waiting on him to develop and mature and had some guys filling in over him before this. But now it's his time, man. And that's the guy I'm really, really excited about and focused on this year and hoping for some really, really good things out of. And then backing them up, another guy who might play quite a bit, Jalen Peoples. He's also a sophomore in that 22 class. He played in 3 games last year filling in for you. And then Devin Cromwell. You know where this one's from?
I feel like I should, but it's escaping me right now.
Canada.
Canada. Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's a senior out of the University of Guelph in Canada. So what we get out of him, kind of don't know. Yeah. he has the famous line from, I think, spring camp of, wait, these guys don't get a running head start at me? Oh, this will be easy.
Yeah.
So you got a little bit of starting there with Braylon Lux and some really good potential with Mohorn and Jalen Peoples in that 22 class. And, yeah, I'm excited for this group just because of A.J. McCarty brings a lot of good experience. Mohorn and Braylon Lux. You got anything on our corner type group?
Yeah, I'm excited for Mohorn, Brennan Jordan, McCarthy, like this whole group. I thought Braylon Lux showed out pretty good for you last year. You could see the potential kind of took the spot of Rashad Williams last year. And so, I really like this group. I'm excited about Mohorn. I've heard a lot about him. I think he's a guy that can be a potential breakout player for you this year. But it also shows the confidence the staff had and the guys that they identified on the recruiting trail.
I love that.
And some of the transfers that they got here early on, and that they feel confident with those guys and didn't really need to go hit the portal, you know? And so McCarthy is a guy that I think a lot of people kind of forgot about last year, mainly because he didn't play. But like you said, he was a guy who was going to be probably a big player for you. Had a pick six against.
Could have started for you and was going to start for Baylor.
Had a pick six against us when he played for Baylor here in Lubbock. So this is a guy who already has experience under his belt. And so, I think this is a really exciting unit, and I'm really excited to see what these guys can do for you. And so, I love the youth movement, by the way.
I do too. And got another youth movement in the back at safety. I'll start with our anchor back there, a guy who's been here a little bit, CJ Baskerville, moving from star to strong safety. We did that a little bit at the end of last year. Yeah. They want to see him more back there. He's going to be your impact player in the secondary to try to kind of take over Rabbit's type position. We've seen him. He's a long, lengthy, really good defender for you. He only missed two games for you last year, but he's a senior. Second on your team in tackles last year with 78. And then another fun stat about him, PFF graded him as your highest rated defense player on the team last year. So you're bringing back him and Ben Roberts, which were your highest rated players.
Right.
That's really good for your defense right there. So, and then backing him up, hopefully you don't got to see this guy, is another senior, Joseph Plunk. He's a two-year backup. Knows what he's doing, but hopefully we got some other guys that could fill in as well. The free safety position, you could see a little battle for, maybe a little in and out, some depth here. Two names you might know. Both are sophomores. Both played in 11 or 12 games in fill-in work last year. Chapman Lewis and Jordan Sanford. Really good athletic safeties for you. Like I said, played in quite a bit of games just filling in last year. And so that'll be the interesting position battle going into these first couple games and weeks of camp once the season starts. So, but CJ being back there is your anchor and your leader for you.
Yeah, I loved once we moved CJ to safety last year. I think he really kind of took off from that. I think it's more of a natural position for him. I think it's going to help him excel more. And I definitely think like you need the kind of leader that he is back there. Yep. I think he'll help, Rabbit is a tough player to replace, but I think he will make that loss not feel so drastic.
Yes.
With his ability back there. I like Chapman Lewis. I've heard a lot about him this offseason. He seems like a guy who can really maybe, I think it's still going to be a little bit of a battle, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's his position. Here early on in the season from everything that I've heard about him. But there's, kind of going back to RC picked this as his number one position group for Texas Tech this year. I understand the prediction. I think if it's like a bold one, just if you're projecting what these guys can do if you're going based off of past performances and stuff, it's hard to pick that for me just because of the lack of experience. But
yeah,
there is a lot of potential in this group that by the end of the year, you can be like, wow, yeah, our defensive backs were, you know, right up there with our linebackers and best units on this team. It wouldn't surprise me.
I think this could be last year's linebacker group.
Yeah, it could.
Where you're not sure, but then because you have a handful of sophomores out here playing for the first real minutes, like quality minutes, like, oh, shoot, look at Mo Horn. Oh, shoot, look at Chapman Lewis. Man, like, I think it could be last year's group where it's uncertain, but then you find some studs.
Yeah, that's a good point because I remember everybody –
Last year we were like, oh, no,
we got Jacob Rodriguez and Bryce Ramirez coming off an injury, but you know, and then it ends up being one of your best groups. So, yeah, I think that's kind of what I see there. And, you know, like we said early on, you know, Marcel Yates is still the DB's coach, and I think he's done a really good job with this unit. I think the guys that they've identified on the recruiting trail are going to be, it's fun to see them develop and become the guys that are starting for them. You know,
that's what I'm most excited about with this group.
Especially in a day and age of portal and stuff like that. It's just really nice that, hey, we got these guys 2 years ago. I remember, you know, Mo Horn committing. Yeah. And now you're getting to see them step up and lead this defense. That's what I love about college sports. That's what I've always loved about college football in general, is just kind of watching, seeing the guys as freshmen come in and then become playmakers for you. And so it's really exciting names everywhere on this defense, I think. Like we said, no stars really coming into this year, but there could be a few stars by the end of this season.
Yep. No stars, more depth.
Yeah. And so a really exciting defensive unit coming into this season. I think they'll be the anchor for this team, as the offense is, you know, I expect better from us offensively this year. It's still just a question mark to me. Was that Kittley? I don't have any question marks for Tim DeRuiter and this defensive coaching staff. I really believe in what they're doing. And so I'm not coming in this year being like, I don't know, man. And that's nice to say for defense. Like, that's shocking to say as a Texas Tech fan that.
Well, and like I mentioned to start with, like, all these sophomores that are starting to get real minutes have been in the meeting rooms for 2 years and have done fill-in work and have seen guys like Rabbit and Malik Dunlap play their positions. Like, it's not like they're coming in fresh, brand new, or a new DC, new system, all that stuff. They know the language. They know what's going on. So, like, now they just got to do it.
Yeah. Now we got to see it. And hopefully things on the defensive side of the ball continue to be as good as they have been. Hopefully it gets a little bit better, and you can see this team maybe take that next step that we've been wanting them to take for so long. So let's, before we move over to ACU, and talking about that game, Dustin, we didn't do our, you know, final six games of the season preview, just not enough time yet. We'll do that later. But we went through our first six games of the season, five winnable games. Well, six winnable games, but what's your prediction for Texas Tech record this year? I know we've had a lot of discussion. We're staying off the Kool-Aid. I said I'm not making any bold proclamations until after Washington State. Where are you going as a Texas Tech record for us this year?
Yeah, we're not sipping Kool-Aid yet, but it's hard to not look at this team and the revamps of some groups, the consistency on the coaching staffs, and the schedule that we got in a good way to not get a little higher on this team. But I'm not going to jump too far. Like, I want to go 10-2. But I'm not going to quite go that far with it just because we haven't seen that from a team here in 15 years, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 9-3. Okay. I think we are better. I think we're a good team. I think we're ranked for quite a bit this year off and on. But with that 5-1, 6-0 start, that really helps. And so I think 9-3 is very doable.
What would you say the three losses would be?
I don't have a schedule in front of me, but I know, like, say we lose Arizona.
TCU.
I hate the TCU Iowa State back to back away games. Yeah. So, like, chalk Iowa State up in there and then one more. I just know I had those kind of pinned already.
Oklahoma State's the other tough road game.
So, somewhere around that area.
Okay. I like you, like, it is tough to, you know, you look at this team and you see the potential of it. You see the revamped offense, the wide receiver room, hopefully a healthy Baron Morton, Taj Brooks running back. And you look at the schedule and it's very easy to want to drink that Kool-Aid, but I am not, and I'm staying away from it. And I will not predict us to win more than 8 games in a season until we prove that we can do that.
I don't hate it.
I'm going 8-4. For the Red Raiders. Believe me, I would love to be able to say 9-3 confidently, 10-2 confidently, but I was so burned last year that for me, it's just kind of really hard. I think 8-4, I would appreciate an 8-win season, regular season. I think the opportunities are there, but I do think we have 4 tough road conference games: Arizona, TCU, which is a place we haven't played well in a while. Iowa State in the cold. I think they also got a pretty good squad. That's going to be a tough game. And then Oklahoma State, who obviously made the Big 12 championship last year, is coming in as a contender. So yeah. I think those are our 4 losses. But I think we get the Washington State game and win all of your home games, which will get you to 8 wins. And I will be, hey, that'll be good. But I definitely believe if you're going to be the, if you're going to be a team and a contender in the Big 12, you should win 9 games this year. I definitely believe that, but I'm not going to predict it. So those are our Texas Tech record predictions. Dustin going with 9-3. I go with a more conservative 8-4, but still that would be a step in the right direction for the Red Raiders. If you're able to do that, like we said, haven't won 8 games in the regular season since 2008, guys. So that would be progress for the Red Raiders and Joey McGuire here in his 3rd year. Let's move on to the ACU Wildcats, where the Texas Tech Red Raiders are set to kick off tomorrow night. It'll be the first game in the Jones with the south end zone done and ready to go for that. So Dustin, how are we feeling? And what are your thoughts on the opening matchup with the Abilene Christian Wildcats?
Feeling great about this one. I mean, we've hyped up a lot of our revamp positions, our depth on defense. The south end zone is ready to be revealed, you know. So much excitement going on. I mean, I kind of can't believe they sold this game out, and it's going to be packed for Abilene Christian. But that's great. That's great hype. That's people supporting your team. And, I mean, I don't expect a battle on the field, to be honest. I don't expect to struggle with Abilene Christian. I do expect a lot of guys to play. I mean, we just mentioned a lot of depth, especially on defense and like in our receiving and tight end groups. Like, so I don't expect a lot of struggle with Abilene Christian necessarily. I expect our own team to kind of be battling for position battles on their own. So hopefully we can take care of business, keep guys healthy, and see some guys break out and maybe take some positions.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is just being in the environment. Like you said, don't expect much of a competition. If there is a competition and I have to sweat this game out, that'll be a massive disappointment for opener. But yeah, I'm excited to be back in the Jones with the Red Raider Nation, cheering on the Red Raiders. I'm excited for the new entrance, you know, the new band location, the new visiting tunnel.
We got the video dropped the other day.
Yeah, got the video drop.
That was good.
That's going to be cool. And so excited for all that, excited to be out tailgating with Red Raider Nation again, and all that stuff. But yeah, I hope to see a lot of players. I hope to see a lot of names out there recording stats, making tackles, making catches, see Micah Hudson for the first time.
Yes.
Hopefully he has some electric plays that'll get me going. Hopefully Taj, you know, gets off to a good start, get over 100 yards so we can, you know, begin that journey to him breaking the all-time rushing record. And hopefully Barron looks crisp, you know, hopefully that arm looks good and hopefully he's able to zing the ball and kind of look like the Baron Morton that we have been expecting to play for the Red Raiders for a while. So those are just kind of the main things I'm looking for. We'll dive into more detailed stuff when we're talking about Washington State, but ultimately ACU should be a cakewalk victory for the Red Raiders. So there's really not too much to dive into other than the fact that ACU does have some familiar names. We talked about them last week in Dustin's preview. Keith Patterson, former defensive coordinator, head coach. Maverick McGiver, the quarterback, former Red Raider. Trey Cleveland, wide receiver. Those are the three big ones.
Nehemiah Martinez, who was on the team last year.
Who was a big piece like 2 years ago and then all of a sudden just got.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter had a list and there was like four more names that I've never heard of.
There's a tight end in there that I do remember getting, but I forgot about him. So anyway, that'll move us over into our predictions that we always do every year. We come in, we predict the score, we predict against the spread, we make an offensive and defensive prediction. I thought we'd throw in over under predictions for us this year too, just to kind of see how we do each week. So let's start off, Dustin. What is your Texas Tech ACU score prediction?
I got us winning fairly easy. I'll give ACU a few points there, but 55-20. Burger, if you remember this.
Calling a 50 burger out. All right.
I thought about it. Revamped offense, 55-20, baby.
55-20. I like it. Red Raiders would be breaking the 50 mark for the first time in a full season. I do not have us doing that. I have us 45-10 victory over ACU.
Dang. Wow.
I think our defense is going to really hold them and make things interesting. I'm excited about this defensive unit, and I think they're going to be looking to get after it. Offense, I'm not going to predict a 50 burger until I see we can do it. 45-10 for me, which means we are both having the Red Raiders cover the Texas Tech 32.5 point margin there. So are you good with going with that, Dustin? Texas Tech,
you bet.
32.5.
Yep,
we're both going with -32.5. The over under of this game is set at 57.5, Dustin. When Texas Tech, you got covering 55 of that,
we might cover it ourselves.
If I go with my score prediction, I am under with 55
ooh,
points.
So
that's the one part that me and Dustin will disagree on. All right, offensive prediction, what do you got?
Yeah, it's hard to make predictions here, especially when we know, like, might play a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a more, like, general offensive prediction. I'm going to call this one spread the wealth. Offensive totals, we're going to have 200 rushing yards or more and 250 passing yards or more.
All right.
Spreading the wealth.
That'd be great.
Because I don't think one guy – I hope Taj – I kind of hope he doesn't break 100 yards because I hope we don't need him to play that much.
Yeah,
I hope he's more like 78, 85 area.
I hope if he breaks 100 yards, it's like five carries.
And he busts a bit, like one
10
long
yards.
Like, I hope we're not just grinding him out for 20 carries tomorrow.
Yeah, if we're grinding him out for 20 carries, that kind of means maybe something's off. I'm going to kind of do a simple prediction here, but I'm going to say Micah Hudson's going to get his first career touchdown as a Texas Tech Red Raider.
Would love that.
Tomorrow. I would love that. I think kind of like you, it's going to be a spread the wealth. I think if there's a lot of touchdowns, it's going to be like one guy each time, a different guy. Like
we
one
should,
Taj,
we
one
mentioned
Josh
last
Kelly,
week,
one Micah.
We should have the weapons to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. A tight end touchdown maybe. That'd be crazy. All right, defensive side of the ball. Where are you going for a defensive prediction?
I don't know. This one was hard. I mean, some general things I just want to see. No big plays. Like, I don't want to see us get burned over the top, which we were really good at last year. We didn't really give that up. And a good pass rush, like something we never saw last year. So I'm going to go a little out on the edge with this one. Two sacks for two different guys.
Okay. The two.
Two for two combo.
Two for two. I like that. I was thinking kind of going with something sack wise, but I'm going to do the turnover thing. It's the kind of easier prediction, but this, if you know, take three is one of the mottos here for the defense. This is one of your best opportunities to get a take three against the easy opponent. Last year, he came out the gates hot with two turnovers in the like first quarter against Wyoming. I think the defense is going to be able to kind of create havoc for Maverick McIver and this offense and, get some turnovers for you. So I'm going to go a take three to start the season for the Texas Tech Red Raider defense. All right. So to recap our predictions for Texas Tech versus ACU, Dustin going 55-20.
Yeah.
Texas Tech over ACU. I'm going 45-10 Texas Tech over ACU. Both of us taking Texas Tech as a 32.5 point favorites. Over under, Dustin going over the 57.5 total. I am going under the 57.5 total. offensive prediction. Dustin going with the spread the wealth for the Texas Tech offense, over 200 yards rushing and over 250 yards passing for the Red Raiders. I'm going with a Micah Hudson first career touchdown in this game. Defensive prediction, Dustin, the 2-for-2 deal. We're getting two players with two sacks on the defense, yeah. And I've got Texas Tech starting off the season hot on defense with a take three. So that is our thoughts for the upcoming cupcake victory over the ACU Wildcats on Saturday night. Texas Tech football season is almost here, folks. We can't wait for it. And so with that said, we are done with the Texas Tech football thoughts for the day. Dustin, any final shots for us today before we head on to the first full college football Saturday?
You going to talk about Tyler Shuck real quick?
I guess that is the main topic right now.
All right, so if you didn't hear, which you're under a rock, Tyler Shuck was asked about his time in Lubbock and what Lubbock was like, and he said it smells like cow shit and there's a lot of wind. And, of course, Tech Twitter roasted his ass.
He thought went on to say that there's nothing to do out here and that and everything. So
my thought on it, worse. And I commented back to our buddy Eric Lawner on the subject, and I was like, "Well, Tyler Shuck football smells like shit." So
that was the smell from a lot of his performances.
A lot of great comments in the Twitter section there. One of them was, "I bet UMC doesn't have great food." Like. Man, great one there.
Now, hospital food's not always the best.
You know. It's like, another one's like, I bet it's going to be real tough on you if you have to play more than four games this year.
Like, yeah.
But I didn't really care to get into it, but it just kept popping up. And like, that's my only thought is like, dude, you kind of sucked at football anyways. We could have won that Oregon game if you wouldn't have thrown it to your former team. Dude.
Shit yourself there. That's the smell, is he shit himself like four times in that game.
Yeah.
Lubbock, if you're going to make a joke about the smell, it's not the first time anybody said anything. You know, Lubbock does smell like cow shit from time to time. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's Neil making money up there.
Yeah. It's windy out here every day. Yeah, we get that. But I just didn't appreciate it. I thought we left on good terms, you know, and it just kind of gets tiring when people leave Lubbock to just kind of shit all over us. And I think, you know, that's where I get upset. It's just like, what did we do to you? Yeah. Like, you came in here, you got hurt, you left. Like,
every year, you were here for 3 years and got hurt and then got hurt and threw a turnover and then got hurt and threw a pick. And got, like.
Yeah, it wasn't the experience that everybody thought we were getting with it. But I don't think anybody was overly terrible to him. No. I'm just never for the guy once you leave, you know, taking a shit on the last place you were at, unless like it really was bad blood. But I mean, you broke your leg, you broke your collarbone, you broke your what else he broke? Body.
Like I said, define it as interception, injury, new season. Interceptions, injury,
yeah,
new season. Injuries, interceptions.
Yeah. It's just getting a little tired. It's just a little tired. I just shut up. You know, you don't have to be rude about it. Just say, hey, I enjoyed my time in Lubbock. It's not that hard to do. You know, other players have come through and left, and you know they don't have to shit all over us. And so, yeah, that's kind of all I had for the final shot, really. Too is just, you know, fuck you, Tyler. A good old fuck you, Tyler Shuck. But all right, well, that'll do it for us this week here at Tailgate Talks. We are excited to be back in the mix for football, and we will be back next week to recap the first game of the season and a hopeful resounding victory over ACU and previewing Washington State, the first road game of the season. And so to catch everything we're doing throughout the football season, follow us on Apple, follow us on Spotify. Give us those five stars. Five stars for the Tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. Follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. Get our thoughts on the ACU game as things happen, as long as we're able to get tweets out in Jones AT&T Stadium. Follow us there. We have Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube channels as well. So give us a follow on those if you like. Thank you guys for hanging out with us this weekend. We hope you enjoy your tailgates, and we hope you enjoy your Texas Tech football. And we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.